Hey, LifeBridge, I hope you are doing well. It is great to connect with you online. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to LifeBridge. Welcome to LifeBridge Online. Right now, there are thousands of us connecting from our living rooms or kitchen tables or bedrooms. Hopefully not our bathrooms, because that would be really weird, from different parts of the country and even different parts of the world. And that's something that's really cool that technology allows us to do. Even though we physically can't gather together right now, that doesn't mean that we can't be connected. That doesn't mean that we can't be in community. The great news is that LifeBridge is not shut down. Church is never canceled. The mission is never canceled. Compassion is never canceled. Serving other people is never canceled. We can still be gathered together. We can still be connected online, and we can still be on mission. That's what we've been doing, that's what we are doing, and that's what we will do. I mean, this past week, some of the things that have happened, many of you have participated in this. This past week, we've really tried to take care of the needs of the single moms in our communities, both in our church and around Longmont, around Boulder County, where many of you have given to that, where we've taken donations on our website, you've given online, and then we were able to go buy groceries or necessities for the single moms in our church and our community. We're gonna keep doing that. We also have other things that we're working on right now that we're gonna roll out. I've had many conversations this past week with a few of our public officials, many of our community leaders, just asking them, hey, what can we do? Like, LifeBridge is ready. We're here to serve. We want to help in whatever way we can be a blessing to our community and serve you. What can we do? And what's been really cool and what I've really enjoyed is that at the end of every single one of those conversations, whether that was through email or on the phone, the answer was always, hey, we're working out what we're going to do, and we're not quite sure what we need yet. But when we do know, LifeBridge is going to be our first call. And I love hearing that. We've also been connected with churches across the country, just asking each other questions and preparing and planning. How can we step up together and serve? So as more things come, and as the things that we've been working on, as we roll them out, as soon as we're ready, we're going to tell you, hey, here's something else that you can be a part of and why we need you. And we're going to continue to step up and serve. We're going to continue to step up and meet needs. And when I say we, that means all of us. Like, we doesn't mean a specific group of individuals. We doesn't mean the staff. LifeBridge is all of us. And it's going to take all of us to step up and serve. It's going to take all of us to step up and sacrifice. It's going to take all of us to be generous, because right now, we have a massive opportunity. The church has a massive opportunity to be the church. Every single one of us as individuals have a huge opportunity to live out and practice what we say we believe. And if we look at this from a historical perspective, history shows us that there's a four-phase cycle that seems to happen over and over again. Why there's four different phases, I'm not sure, but if you look through history, you see this happen over and over again. The first phase, the first thing that happens is the world goes dark. Like, something happens. Maybe it's a war or a massive natural disaster or a pandemic. Something happens that's negative, and it just gives birth to fear and anxiety and maybe even panic. Well, once that negative thing happens, once that takes place, the second thing that happens, the second phase, is God's Spirit just starts to move. God's Spirit starts to move in even really incredible, discreet ways, but also really overt ways. And God's Spirit starts to stir in the hearts and the minds of people, people that are Christians and people that are not Christians also. And once God's Spirit starts to stir, the third thing happens, and that's the church rises up. Whenever there's chaos, whenever there's crisis, that's when the church is at its finest. All week I've been thinking about the early church, and during the early church years in the Roman Empire, there were multiple pandemics and plagues. And whenever there was a pandemic and everybody ran from it, the church was the opposite. Christians were the ones that ran right towards it. They were the ones serving people in need. They were the ones filling the gaps in society. And the world took notice of it. The world looked and said, hey, we see all this sickness going on. We see these needs that need to be met. We see these people that aren't being taken care of, but it's the church that's running to take care of that. The world noticed that the church lived out what it believed, and because of that, the fourth thing happened. People got to see the light of the world. When it's dark, the darker it gets, the brighter a light shines. This is an opportunity for us to introduce people to Jesus. It's an opportunity for us to be like Jesus to people. This is an incredible opportunity for the gospel because right now, what's happening right now, people are going to be far more open to a conversation about the gospel than they have been in a long time. This is an opportunity right now for us to be the light of the world. Jesus said to the church, he said, you guys are the light of the world. People are gonna see me through you. He said, you're a city on a hill. You're the salt of the earth. Right now, we have an opportunity that we haven't had in a long time to be the light of the world in the midst of dark days. Because we're in a dark time right now. And it's happened quickly. It's happened in a week-long period. There's so much uncertainty in the past 7 days, probably more so than since 9/11, which also means the church is entering into a time that we haven't had this kind of opportunity since September 11th. So as a church, we're gonna step into this. We're gonna lean into this. We're not gonna shrink back. We're not gonna slow down. We're not gonna shut down, not at all. In fact, we're gonna do the opposite. As a church right now, we're gonna ramp up. We're gonna ramp up even more because here's the thing. Fear sees crisis. If you look at things through the lens of fear, then you're gonna see nothing but crisis all around you. But faith sees opportunity. If you look through the lens of faith right now, you're going to see nothing but opportunity. Not opportunity to grandstand or showcase ourselves, but an opportunity to be the light of the world, for people to see that. It's an opportunity to introduce people to Jesus, one that we haven't seen in almost 20 years. But before we can attack this opportunity, we got to address the fear. We've got to address the fear. There's so much fear right now. There's so much uncertainty, so much anxiousness. I'm guessing that every single one of us at some point in the past week have felt some level of fear, have felt some sort of anxiousness. Maybe we've asked a question like, hey, you know, what if this, fill in the blank, what if this happens? Or maybe we just have gotten caught up in that feeling of worry. There's so much to worry about right now. People are worried about their health. They're worried about their family and friends. They're worried about their finances and the economy. All that stuff is real. It's all real. And that's okay to feel that, absolutely. All of us in the past 7 days have felt some sort of fear, worry, uncertainty. So I want you to hear two verses today because of that. We've got to address that. Number one, it's okay to feel that. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be uncertain. It's okay to be anxious. But you know what the most often command that's written down in the entire Bible is? You hear more and more from God, more than anything else, is fear not. Fear not. We've got a lot to fear right now, it seems like. There's a lot to worry about. So I want you to hear just two verses today. And I want you to hear these verses through the context of today. Here's the verses. This is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, don't worry about anything. Just comes right out and says it. It says, don't worry about anything. Well, don't worry about anything means don't worry about the coronavirus. It means don't worry about what's going to happen to the economy. It means don't worry about how your needs are gonna get met. Don't worry about anything means don't worry about anything, even when there's uncertainty and fear. In fact, especially when there's uncertainty and fear. But don't worry about anything, that doesn't mean don't prepare. It doesn't mean don't take action. It doesn't mean don't care. What it means is don't waste your time, your energy, and your sanity on an activity like worry that's going to do absolutely nothing for you other than paralyze you with fear. But if there's so much to worry about right now, if there's so much to be afraid of right now, how can we take Philippians 4? How can we take that seriously? Like, man, I see a ton to worry about right now. Have you not been watching the news? Have you not been paying attention? There's so much to worry about. So why does that say don't worry about anything? Here's why. Because the God of creation is still on his throne. I mean, all week our staff has been in so many meetings to plan and pray and prepare, thinking about, okay, what's our response gonna be? How do we take care of people? How do we serve people? How do we plan for the future? I have been on so many Zoom calls with leaders across the country this week. I've been on more Zoom calls in the past 7 days than I have the past 6 months combined. I mean, honestly, I wish I had stock in Zoom right now. That would be a great stock to have bought 3 weeks ago. And I'm sure many of you have been the exact same way, been in so many different meetings, planning things out, how do we respond, all that's good things, and we should be doing that. But do you know who was not in a meeting like that this week? Do you know who did not have a planning session in the past 7 days? Not a meeting about how we're going to respond to this? You know who didn't meet for that? God. God didn't have a meeting this week about how we're going to respond to this. He didn't think, oh, okay, the coronavirus. Oh, no. Like, what am I going to do about that? How's this going to affect the economy? What are we going to do to care for people and serve them? God didn't have that meeting. He didn't call up. The Trinity didn't get together and say, all right, Holy Spirit, Jesus, we need to meet together. We can't do that physically, social distancing, but we can gather online. We got to meet together and think about what we're going to do. Holy Spirit, could you please look at this thing over here and figure that out? Oh, Jesus, that's a great point of view. That's a great question. We definitely need to look at that. God didn't have that meeting. God did not have a meeting this week about how do we plan for this? What's my four-step strategic plan going forward? How do we respond to this? God did not have that meeting because he's still God, because he's still on the throne, because he's still in control. That's really good news for us. The reason why we don't have to worry is because God is still in control. We're okay. We're gonna be okay. So Philippians 4:6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Now that's really easy for us to just kind of blow past. That's really easy for us to look at that and say, okay, that's great. Thanks a lot, Matt. That seems kind of obvious. Of course we're gonna pray. Can we get onto something a little bit more depth? Can you give us a little bit more than just say, hey guys, why don't you pray about what you're worrying about? Well, actually, I can't. There's nothing else really to say with that. Because this is as deep as it goes. And not only is this as deep as it goes, this is actually encompasses everything. Because when there's fear, when there's anxiety, when there's uncertainty, especially when there's worry, these verses are critical. Because prayer is reverse worry, and worry is reverse prayer. I'm gonna say that again, and then I'll unpack it. Prayer is reverse worry, and worry is reverse prayer. Every single one of us falls into one or two of those camps on a daily basis. Worry is reverse prayer because it puts the focus on me. It puts me at the center of attention. It puts me in the center of every situation and every solution, which also means now I've got to be the savior. And whenever you have to be the savior, you can feel the weight of that. The pressure builds pretty quickly. That's why worry makes you feel like it is a direct path to anxiety. But prayer puts the focus on God. It puts God at the center of every situation. It puts God at the center of every solution. Prayer lets God be God. Worry makes me God. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm a lousy God. It doesn't work out very well. That's why it says right here that don't worry about anything. That's code for don't put focus on you. But instead, pray about everything, which is code for put the focus on God. And then tell him what you need. Tell him what you need right now. That's where you should start. And don't be shy about that. You can tell him whatever you need. Ask for it. God, like, I'm struggling with this. Can you give me this? God, I need provisions with this. Can you take care of that? God, can you give me peace right now? I mean, there's so much anxiety and anxiousness and worry. That stuff seems to be spreading quicker than any virus right now. So maybe that's what we all need. We just all need peace right now. So it says, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Man, that's a great promise. God's peace is bigger than anything that you can understand. It's bigger than anything that you can understand. And it will also guard your heart and your mind. And isn't that really what's under attack right now? Yeah, every single one of us, we could get sick. Any of us could get sick. And maybe that would be much worse for some people than it would be for others. But isn't what really is under attack right now our hearts and our minds? Like all the worry, the uncertainty, the anxiousness, the fear, that's attacking our hearts and that's attacking our minds far more than our bodies are being attacked. But God's peace, and you could have it. God's peace is bigger than anything that you could understand. And it will guard your heart and it will guard your mind much greater than any kind of attack that you could come under from worry, anxiety, fear, uncertainty, or frustration. And what's really cool about this promise of peace is this isn't just some motivational thought that comes up in Philippians 4. No, you can actually have this right now. Like God's peace, you can have it right now. And there's steps to it. There's action steps. Take these steps and you have God's peace. There's one don't and then there's three do's. The first step is don't worry about anything. Like we've already hit on this. Worry just derails the path to peace. Instead, let whatever you're worrying about, let your worries shape your prayers. Like whenever you start to worry, that should be a trigger to start praying. Man, I'm really worrying about this. I'm struggling with this. I should pray about this. Every time you start worrying, let that be an alarm clock to start praying. And whatever you're worrying about, let that shape your prayers. Start off with that. And then step two is pray about everything. Everything. Like everything that's going on with you, everything that's going on around you. Pray about what you're worrying about. Pray about what you need, which is step three. Tell God what you need. God, I need this. God, I need you to take care of that. God, I need you to handle this. God, I need you to provide here. God, I need peace. Tell him what you need. And then number four, thank God for what he's already done. Thank you for what he's already done. And maybe it seems a little hard right now. Maybe it seems a little bit hard right now to be thankful about much. Matt, why should we be thankful when we're in the middle of a global pandemic? Like, why would we be thankful for that? Why should we be thankful when our daily rhythms have been interrupted and we're not sure when they're going to go back to normal? Why should we be thankful when we still have to work at home and the kids are out of school? Somebody is going to die in my house and it's not going to be from the coronavirus if you get my drift. Like, why should we be thankful when there seems like there's nothing to be thankful at all right now? It's because thankfulness actually acts as an antidote to worry. Being thankful reminds you about how good God is. It reminds you about how he's been faithful in the past and how he will be faithful in the future. Faithfulness right now when times are not good. Faithfulness right now it's actually far more important and far more impactful to be thankful right now than it is when times are good. Thankfulness right now when things are uncertain will actually make it really hard for you to worry. It'll make it really hard for you to worry. It acts as an antidote because you cannot be thankful and worry at the same time. Thankfulness and worry, they cannot occupy the same spaces. You cannot do one and the other at the same time. If you're thankful, you're not going to be worrying. If you're worrying, you're not going to be thankful. I mean, think about that. If you're ever being genuinely thankful about something, you're not worrying about something else. You can't. Thankfulness acts as an antidote to worry, and it just enhances your peace. So right now, when we are in unprecedented times, when there is so much uncertainty, we should be more thankful right now than we have been before. Yeah, it's easy to be thankful when times are good, but it's far more important and far more impactful to be thankful when times aren't good. And what's really cool about this promise of peace, this equation for peace, it's this. It's God's peace equals pray about everything, plus tell him what you need, plus thank him for what he's already done, minus don't worry about anything, that equals God's peace. And that promise of peace, I love what it says in Philippians 4. It says that you will. If you do these things, you will. If you follow this equation, you will. Not you might, not hopefully it'll happen, not you should expect this to occur. No, it says you will experience God's peace, which is so much bigger than anything you can understand. And it will guard your heart and it will guard your mind in the middle of attacks of uncertainty, anxiety, fear, and frustration. And because we have this peace, we actually can be proactive with it, which is really good news right now because it just seems like we're stuck, right? You can take this peace and actually do something with it. Things that you can do right now. Number one, you can be calm. This is actually a way to serve people right now. There just seems to be anxiousness and uncertainty and worry that's spreading quicker than any virus, so it's put a premium on calm. Remember this, calm is contagious. Calm is more contagious than any virus is. And when you're calm and show that, everyone around you will experience the same thing and will be calm also. And the symptoms of calm will come up immediately. This is actually one of the ways that we can bless people. We want to be people that spread peace, not panic. So in your conversations, lead out with positivity, not negativity. Don't be a doomsdayer. Don't say, well, it's bound to happen to me. It's bound to happen to all of us. Don't do that. Like, watch what you post on social media. Don't just always post the worst case scenario things. I'm not saying we avoid reality. I'm saying we approach reality in a calm manner. Calm is contagious, and that will bless people. The second thing we can do right now is you can be a connector. Be creative in how you connect with people. Just because we can't connect physically with other people right now doesn't mean we still can't have community. Doesn't mean that we still can't be connected to each other. And look for ways to connect other people. And use social media. Be online with other people. I've seen so many of you connect together in groups. I love seeing groups meet together in a virtual platform. So many of you are connecting with each other, connecting with the church. You've reached out to me and connected with me on social media. Man, that's one of the best things that it's there for. Be creative in how you connect. Be a connector for other people. And don't be okay with other people being in isolation. Go out of your way to connect to other people right now. That's a way to bless people, and that's a way to serve people. It's an opportunity. The third thing you can do is you can be a neighbor. This has been in LifeBridge's DNA for years. What a great time to care for and serve your neighbors. Then go ask them, is there something that you can do for them? Go knock on their door and just have a conversation with them. You might have to be 6 feet away, but that's okay. You have no idea how far a conversation will go right now. If you don't know your neighbors, there is not a better time to introduce yourself than right now. Neighbors that you don't know, go knock on their door, introduce yourself, ask them if there's anything that you could do for them, give them your cell number so they can call you. Be a neighbor right now. This is a huge way that we can serve and make a difference. And then the fourth thing that you can do right now is you can be generous. Like, we are going to serve our communities and our city. We are going to step up and meet the needs of people. Like, we are the church that runs right at the challenge, that doesn't run away from it. We always have wanted to, and we will be, we have been and we will be the best church for our community. So if we're going to do that in times like this, in times of fear and uncertainty, the world will err on the side of greed, not us. As a church, we're going to err on the side of generosity, because that's what Jesus has always done for us. So if we're going to be a part of transformation, if we're going to meet the needs of our city, if we're going to be a light right now when it's really dark, that means all of us have to step up. You have to step up. I have to step up. I have no doubt in my mind that our church is going to be insanely generous right now. We're going to be more generous than we ever have been. And if we're going to meet the needs of people, if we're going to be a light, we've got to resource ourselves well. Some of you have been so generous for so long. Keep going, man. That's awesome. And if you haven't been, there is not a better time to start giving than right now. About half of our church already gives online, and the other half of our church gives on the weekends through checks or cash, which is awesome. And if that's you, I would encourage you to make the shift to giving online right now. That's actually a huge way you can help by making that shift. You can go to our website and sign up and create that account. It's super easy. You could do that right now and make a difference. And if you're not comfortable with that, that's totally fine. You can still drop your offering in the mail. That's totally fine. Because the peace that we have with God, we can use our generosity. That's a response of worship, and our generosity will impact other people's lives. There's so much worry. There's so much uncertainty going on right now. But because of Jesus, we have a peace that goes beyond all understanding. You can have that right now. You don't have to worry about anything. Take it to God. Ask him for what you need. Let your worries shape your prayer, and then be a showcase for that peace. Because we have that peace, because we know God is still in control, we know he's still sitting on his throne, that is such good news right now. Because of that, we can be calm. We can be connectors. We can be neighbors, and we can be generous. Right now, we live in a world that is incredibly fearful. We live in a fearful, fearful world. And it's a fearful world that needs a fearless church. Why not us? We always have been, and we always will be, the fearless church. We're going to run into this challenge. We're going to step up even more, and we're going to do it together. I'm so excited to see how God's going to use us and how he's going to reveal himself, not only to us, but to people around us. Man, I love you guys, and I'll see you next week. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for still being in control. Father, we're nervous. We're uncertain of what's going to happen. Maybe we're frustrated. We're scared. God, I pray that you would take our worry and just diffuse it. That you would give us the peace that you promise, that you would provide for us, that you would protect us, and that you would use LifeBridge, you would use all of us as a way to bless people in our communities, not only right here in Colorado, but across the country. Thank you for being in control. We know that you're working ahead of us. We know that you're already beyond this, and that your purpose is, it can't be canceled. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.